Over the last few years, Turkey has become increasingly important in the Middle East. It's a key player in the Syrian civil war, for instance. Its economy has developed and its leaders want more international influence. But a major diplomatic thorn in Turkey's side is a controversial and often disputed event, which many claim involved the deportation and mass killings of more than a million Armenians from Turkey, dating from about April 1915. It's a significant date as the centenary of the Anzac Gallipoli campaign draws closer. In what seemed to many to be a significant advance, the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan this week offered his condolences to the families of Armenians killed during World War I. The Armenian diaspora, though, yesterday didn't seem to have been moved by this offering. Someone who's been following this issue for many years is Professor Colin Tatz, a genocide scholar. Welcome back to Saturday Extra, Colin.
Hi, good morning, Norman.
So how significant is this offer of condolences?
It would be very nice if it was a genuine offer of peacemaking and of reconciliation and of finally Turkey admitting to something that's been denied since about 1923. Regrettably, it's the same old in a slightly different package. The issue of denial has gone from it never happened, it didn't happen on the scale that people say it happened, More Turks died at the hands of Armenians than Armenians died at the hands of Turks. It was a civil war, war is hell. And finally, we get the final package, which is both sides suffered mutual pain and let's celebrate this pain together. And that's the message from this week.
But by your own words, Colin, you're describing movement.
Well, it is movement, Norman. There's no doubt that there has been a tremendous international pressure and reaction to the Turkish denial industry, which is a juggernaut that is almost unstoppable. It's been going full bore for, God knows, 70, 80 years. It is one of the most monumentally large departments in Turkey, second to the Defense Department. The next most important bureaucratic activity is to seek out every word of negativity about Turkish behavior during the First World War. And it seeks to refute, deny, obfuscate, deflect everything under the sun. And what's terribly interesting about this is that there's a slight retreat, and the retreat will continue like this. This is, after all, as you said in your introduction, the final year before the 100th anniversary, which is going to be sort of commemorated, celebrated, if I can use that word, around the world and certainly in Australasia. And this is sotto voce. This is going softly, softly before we get to 2015. And anything goes after 2015. There may be an admission of the genocide, but I really doubt that.
What would happen if there was an admission? What's in the Turkish government's mind, or the Turkish people's mind?
Yeah, it's a good question. The Turkish government has a threefold position. If they admit the genocide, then they feel they are obliged to make reparations. And if they are obliged to make reparations, they've then got to return lands that they seized. So they see this as a threefold domino effect. If they can obliterate the first step in that trilogy, then they won't have to give reparations and they won't have to restore lands.
And is there any debate at all about sort of innovative ways of through this, such as a reconciliation commission, such as they've had in South Africa and other places?
Erdogan said, let's have an historical commission. There have been historical commissions on this going back to Ambassador Henry Morgenthau in 1919 when he was American ambassador in Turkey and came back and wrote a book saying I had to leave Turkey as an ambassador because I couldn't abide watching the daily massacres that are going on. So what you get is a nice fallback position of the Turkish authorities, which is we must await the verdict of history. Now, how long does it take a historian to work out what happened between 1915 and 1923 and where we are now in 2014? Historians are not that slow off the mark.
Where does Australia stand on this?
It's an interesting one. Australia, we have two governments, New South Wales and South Australia, have formally recognised not only the genocide of the Armenians, but that of the Pontian Greeks and the Christian Assyrians. The federal government has been urged, mainly through the offices of Joe Hockey, who's of Armenian descent, and he has tirelessly pushed for a federal recognition, even if it's only a symbolic recognition. What's interesting is that two nights ago, the Armenian community commemorated the 99th anniversary of the events, And there were parliamentary messages from everybody, state, federal messages, but no message from Tony Abbott. Now, this is significant because I've been going to these commemoration ceremonies since about 1987, and no Prime Minister has ever failed to deliver, if not in person, then at least a passed-on messenger message.
Well, we'll watch that with interest. Sorry, yeah. Colin, we're running out of time, but thanks very much, Colin.
Thank you.
Tatz is a visiting fellow at the ANU and a genocide scholar, and we'll watch that story with interest.